Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for David Raphael Ben Fanya, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, Bessie Ray Bat Lucy, Evelyn Louise Bat Bessie Ray, and Roy Neal Ben Bessie Ray, and to elevating the souls of Hadassah Bat Yitzchak, Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. Both of them are related to the upcoming November 2018 midterm elections. The midterm elections are something we're going to be discussing quite a bit in the upcoming weeks because it's only about 6 weeks until, roughly 6 weeks until the elections are going to be held, and the elections can be important for Israel. And Israel is our concern. Our concern on this program, our main concern on this program is Israel, because the destiny of the world is decided by what happens in Israel. That's the true message of all the prophets in the Bible and everything that we see in the Bible. I will bless those that bless thee, and all families of the earth will be blessed through Israel. I mean, that's the clear message of the Bible. God decides the destiny of the whole world based upon what happens in Israel and what happens to the Jewish people. So Israel has to be the number one issue and the number one concern at all times for Jews and for Gentiles. But especially for Jews, a Jew that doesn't make Israel his or her number one concern is a self-hating Jew and a traitor. If you don't know any better, if you're an assimilated Jew and you didn't know any better and you weren't raised that way and you didn't know, okay, you have an excuse. But once you hear the message and once you're exposed to the truth, if you continue not to make Israel your central concern, then you're a self-hating Jew. And that's true for the vast majority of American Jews. By the way, when I say Israel has to be our main concern and that we should make Israel our number one interest when we vote, we're supposed to be living in Israel. We're commanded to live in the land of Israel. If you're not living in Israel, if you're violating that commandment, which we're told is equal to all the other commandments in the Bible, and which Chazal are the rabbis of the Talmud, teach us that he who lives outside of Israel, it is as if he has no God, and he who lives in Israel, it is as if he does have a God. If you're not living in Israel, the least you can do is, while you're not living in Israel, and this is not, I don't want to compare this to living in Israel, we're still obligated, we're commanded to live in Israel. But if you're not living in Israel, the least you could do is do everything you can to support Israel and defend Israel and defend the land of Israel and defend the Jewish people in the land of Israel. At least you can do that. And if you don't even make that your number one concern when you vote, then you're really a traitor. So you see that American Jews are in pretty bad shape when it comes to the issue of loyalty, because they're not loyal to Israel. Most of them couldn't care less about Israel, and many of them actually hate Israel and are embarrassed by Israel. But anyway, we have two elections that are coming up that we've discussed. We've actually discussed one of them, and we're going to discuss the second one as well this week. One is the election in Texas that we discussed last week. We're going to go into some more detail. Very important Senate race in Texas between Ted Cruz, who is a true conservative and a true defender of Israel and the best friend Israel has in the Congress, the one sincere pro-Israel senator. He's running for re-election against someone who is anti-Israel, is an anti-Semite, a socialist, extreme left-wing Jew hater, and the polls show it's a very close race. So we're going to do everything we can, of course, to help Ted Cruz. You know that we've always been admirers and supporters of Ted Cruz, so we're going to do everything we can to help him because it's an important election from the standpoint of Israel. And J Street and all the self-hating Jewish traitors, as we mentioned last week, the worst self-hating Jewish traitors, George Soros and Tom Steyer, and all the evil Jewish billionaires that hate Judaism and that hate Israel, they are all helping Ted Cruz's radical left opponent. And I deliberately didn't name him because I want to start off by mentioning something about his name. Before I go into the fact that he used to wear women's clothes and wear dresses and that the media is making sure it doesn't become an issue in the campaign, before I go into the fact that he dressed like, that he used to dress with, he used to put a dress on, he dressed like a woman. And that you know, it's just part of his history, just showing what type of history we're talking about with this candidate. His real name is Robert Francis O'Rourke. He is 100% Irish-American. He is completely of Irish ancestry, even though he pretends that he's Hispanic and changed and made his name Beto O'Rourke. Beto. To try to make it sound like a slang Hispanic name, because it's a slang name that some Latinos and Hispanics use. And because Texas is now about 52-53% Hispanic, or I don't think it's 52-53% Hispanic. I know that it's majority non-white. Texas is now majority non-white. But Texas is now, I think, 42 or 43% Hispanic. And then you have blacks and other non-whites there. So the whites are maybe 45% of the population in Texas. In a state like that, of course, we have over 40% of the population Hispanic. It's an advantage to try to pretend that your name is a Latino or Hispanic name. So that's what this phony hypocrite is doing, this phony two-faced hypocrite. But his real name is Robert Francis O'Rourke, not Beto O'Rourke. This is all a con job that he's pulling on the people of Texas, and the media doesn't call him on this. If this was a conservative or Republican trying to do this, the media would be ridiculing this and speaking about this day and night. So he is fundamentally dishonest. And they just had a debate. They just had their first debate, Ted Cruz versus Robert Francis O'Rourke. And Ted Cruz slaughtered him in the debate. I mean, it wasn't even close. And we've put the debate up on our newest YouTube channel, our newest English language YouTube channel, which you can find on our newest English language YouTube channel, or you can find it on other channels as well. You should watch the debate and see. It's a 1-hour debate between Ted Cruz and between Robert Francis O'Rourke, who calls himself Beto O'Rourke. And Ted Cruz won the debate decisively, and yet the media is making it sound like, well, they both debated well, and they're both very good debaters, and they're making it sound like there was no winner. When the media says there was no winner, when a true conservative is debating a radical leftist, and the media says there was no winner, you know that means the true conservative won decisively, easily. And that's what happened. I mean, Ted Cruz is such a talented debater and such a great speaker. He would have slaughtered Hillary Clinton. We wouldn't have had this embarrassing outcome that we had in 2016, where Hillary Clinton won 3 million more votes than Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 3 million votes. Donald Trump lost the popular vote. So he's a president of a country where most of the people voted for his opponent. If not for this crazy legal technicality called the Electoral College, if not for a crazy legal technicality, Hillary Clinton would have been president because more Americans voted for her. Many more Americans voted for her than for Donald Trump. So he is president against the will of the majority of the American people. He became president. That, of course, casts a shadow over the legitimacy of his presidency. And if Ted Cruz were president, I don't think that would have happened. If Ted Cruz were the Republican candidate for president, I don't think that would have happened. I think Ted Cruz would have won the popular vote as well and would have really beaten Hillary Clinton. If you see this debate, you'll see it's just an example of how good he is, how perfect he is in debating, how magnificent he is as a debater. And one of the things he mentions in the debate, before we get to the women's clothes and the dressing of his opponent, which he doesn't mention, but we're going to mention it. One of the things he mentions in the debate, he mentions that his opponent has taken positions on the issues that are so extreme, that are so far left. Even Nancy Pelosi and Bernie Sanders haven't taken such extreme left positions. And Bernie Sanders, of course, is a Marxist, is a socialist. He went to the Soviet Union. He's really a communist. He went to the Soviet Union on his honeymoon. Bernie Sanders, Nancy Pelosi, they have not said that they want to abolish ICE. ICE is the Immigration and Custom Enforcement Agency that guards the border and that prevents illegal aliens from just coming into the country. Hundreds of millions could come marching into the country if we didn't have ICE. Robert Francis O'Rourke, the Democrat candidate for the U.S. Senate in Texas, says we should abolish. He's spoken about abolishing ICE. So we have no border controls at all. Even Bernie Sanders, even Nancy Pelosi haven't said that. And he's taken many other positions that even Bernie Sanders and Nancy Pelosi haven't taken. So he's running to the left of Bernie Sanders and Nancy Pelosi. And the media is trying to make him a big hero. And yes, he also, when he was in a punk rock group, getting arrested for drunk driving and endangering people's lives because he was drinking under the influence, aside from that, and then leaving the scene, fleeing the scene of the accident. Witnesses said that he fled the scene of the accident. This is the type of guy who would run somebody over and then try to run and get away with it and leave the person bleeding and dying. That's the type of person he is. Now, he is scum. Scum! And that's just one of the issues. He also, something that nobody even mentions, when he was in the punk rock group, he wore dresses. He was cross-dressing. He wore dresses. He was, I don't know if you call him transgender or whatever you want to call, I don't even know what the transgender, transsexual, they have so many different terms now. But he wore dresses. This is a man who wore dresses running for the Senate. And I'm mentioning it because, in my opinion, does that disqualify somebody from being a senator? In my opinion, it says something about the person. It says about their outlook that I think would be the end of the United States. If the United States says that this is normal behavior, that men can dress like women and pretend they're women, and according to the Bible, this is not me saying this, this is the Bible says this, this is what God says. God says this is an abomination. God says this is that God destroys nations that do this. We saw what God did with Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroys nations that do these types of things. And this is someone who not only supports the gay agenda, but he used to wear dresses. He used to dress like a woman. Here's a picture of him in one of his punk rock, one of the punk rock publicity pictures that they took with him wearing a dress. Yeah, he's the guy in the dress. He's the guy with the beard and the mustache who's wearing a dress in this picture. I just want to reiterate that Ted Cruz performed so well in this debate and would have done so well against Hillary Clinton. In the debates between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton won those debates. She beat him in those debates. And she's a terrible debater. The reason she didn't win the Electoral College part of the election is because she was fainting in the election and collapsing and all the and she was overconfident and she didn't campaign properly and she didn't run a decent campaign. She ran a terrible campaign. But if she was facing someone like Ted Cruz performs in the debate the way Ronald Reagan did in his famous debate against Jimmy Carter. You remember Ronald Reagan's magnificent, young people wouldn't remember this, but you remember Ronald Reagan's magnificent debate performance against Jimmy Carter that led to a Reagan landslide. They were neck and neck in the polls. They were even in the polls in 1980, Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan, and then Reagan in the debate did so well that he wound up winning by a landslide. That's Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz has a Reagan-esque ability to debate and speak. He speaks so well and so convincingly that I have no doubt that Hillary would have been in terrible shape if she had been his opponent. And again, I urge you to watch the Cruz-O'Rourke debate to see it for yourself and to see why it breaks our heart that Ted Cruz was not the Republican candidate for president in 2016. And, you know, if he was the president now, if Ted Cruz had been the Republican candidate and then was elected to the presidency, we would have had, first of all, a better tax bill with real tax cuts for the middle class. Now the middle class is actually getting a tax increase under Trump's plan. And we would have had far better programs and far better results in every area. And Ted Cruz, like Ronald Reagan, because they were against Ronald Reagan too, the media, they were all against him, they all attacked him, and yet he became very popular. He became very popular because the economy was doing well. Here you have a situation under Trump where the Americans, according to every poll, believe the economy is doing well, which I don't think, by the way, it's doing that well. But you have Americans who believe the economy is doing well. They believe the economy is doing very, very well. They've been brainwashed. And yet they can't stand Donald Trump. The vast majority of Americans can't stand him. So, I mean, you can't possibly have a president who is more, who is a worse leader than this, with statistics that should make him very popular, like they did for Reagan, or like they did even for Bill Clinton, even the height of the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Bill Clinton was very popular because in the 90s, the Americans believed the economy was doing very well. Whenever you have a situation like this, usually the president, who's the beneficiary of these statistics, usually he has very high approval ratings and is very popular. That's what happened to Bill Clinton in the 90s. That's what happened with Ronald Reagan in the 80s. That's what happens. You have Donald Trump in that situation in this point in history, and yet he can't translate that into popularity because he is so involved in such insane scandals and tweeting and fighting and pettiness and paranoia and craziness, nonstop craziness and incompetence and stupidity, where his own cabinet members say that he's a moron. His own cabinet members say that he's unbalanced. I mean, this, you have a situation here where he's unable to translate it into popularity. What a tragedy, because Ted Cruz would have been like Reagan. He would have been very popular and would have been reelected by a landslide. But that's not the reality. You wanted the orange Mussolini, and you got him. Anyway, in Texas, we've got this race, and let's hope that Ted Cruz gets reelected. It's very important for Israel. It's important for America, too, because this other guy running, if he gets elected, running on his platform of abolishing ICE and wearing dresses and all the other crazy things that he's been proposing during the course of the campaign, he's running to the left of Bernie Sanders. If he could win running to the left of Bernie Sanders, that really says that the future of America is very, very grim. Then we're in a lot of trouble. That's why the Senate race is extremely important. And there's another Senate race where we don't probably will, the candidate that we despise the most will probably get reelected, unfortunately, Dianne Feinstein. She's running, and that's the second subject we want to discuss on the program this week. Dianne Feinstein, Yimach Shma V'Zichra, Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may her name and memory be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot. This beast who runs around claiming she's Jewish, she's not Jewish. Her mother was not Jewish, and under Jewish law, it's the mother that decides. Her mother was not Jewish, her father was. So she runs around saying she's Jewish, even though, according to Judaism, which is the deciding God in Judaism, and the Torah is what decides whether or not you're Jewish. And she is not. But she runs around calling herself Jewish, and everybody considers herself to be Jewish. Her husband is a self-hating Jewish, super rich Jewish businessman from San Francisco. She was the mayor of San Francisco. And this evil person, she's now, I think, 81 years old. I don't know how old she is, but she's been in California politics forever. She's in her 80s already. And she's running for another term. And she is, by the way, dumb. She is dumb. I mean, you could see her debating Ted Cruz in the Senate, how dumb she came out looking. She is just dumb. Okay, she's not a smart person. She's not an effective person. She's not. Not only is she a self-hating, and she's so anti-Israel. She's so self-hating, but she's also dumb. And she's also in with J Street and George Soros and all the Jews that want to destroy Israel. She's part of that. Okay, she's part of that gang. She helps them. She represents them in the Senate. She works with J Street. J Street is the lobby, the anti-Israel lobby, the Jewish anti-Israel lobby, the radical left Jewish anti-Israel lobby that supports O'Rourke in Texas and supports Bernie Sanders and supports all the anti-Semites they support. And they want Israel to commit suicide. They support a nuclearized Iran. They support anything that will hurt their own people and hurt Israel. Automatically, they're on the side of the anti-Semites against their own people. And Dianne Feinstein, she's one of their favorites also. She, just like O'Rourke in Texas, they love her because she works with them on legislation, and she works to undermine Israel, and she works to support the Arab terrorists, and works to support Iran, and everything that could hurt Israel and jeopardize Israel, and everything that could endanger America's national security, you'll see Dianne Feinstein is behind it. And so it's important for Israel also that she be defeated. Now, California has a lot of crazy things. But it also, among other things, it has a crazy election system. Here's how it works in California. You have a what they call a primary, but it's not a party primary. It's a general primary of all the candidates that want to run. Every candidate wants to run. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Green Party, everybody wants to run. They all run in this primary. So you got about 20, 30, 40 candidates running for the Senate, let's say. And the primary is held in June. And the two top vote getters in the primary, the two candidates that get the most votes in the primary, then run against each other in November. In this case, you had two Democrats. California is so Democrat, so left-wing Democrat. It's such a left-wing state now that you had two Democrats became the leading. A Republican didn't even make it into one of the two top slots, because usually you have a Democrat running against a Republican in November, right? Not in California. Here you have a Democrat running against a Democrat. Left-wing Democrat running against a left-wing Democrat. The left-wing Democrat is Kevin De Leon, who is a Mexican-American state legislative leader in Sacramento, and not important what his history is. He's a Democrat. He's a leftist, so he's obviously bad. But he is her opponent, because he, Feinstein and De Leon were the two top vote getters in the June primary. The Republican didn't make it to the top two. So the voters of California have a choice between a Democrat versus a Democrat. Now, Republicans, though, vote in the November election. Everybody can vote. So we urge our members in California, because we have a lot of people in California. A lot of people from California watch JTF videos and have been with us over the years. California is our second biggest state after New York in terms of supporters. So we urge our people in California to vote for Kevin De Leon. Okay? Yes, he's bad. He's terrible. He's a left-wing Democrat. He's disgusting. We hate him. But Dianne Feinstein is worse, because there's nothing worse than a self-hating Jew or a self-hating Jewish wannabe. Okay? She's not... Her mother's not Jewish, so she's halachically not Jewish, but she thinks she's Jewish, and everybody else thinks she's Jewish, and she runs around and does a lot of harm to Israel and the Jewish people. Just recently, look what she did. She had this information of the accuser against Judge Kavanaugh, and she had this information in July and sat on the information. She could have revealed it during the hearing. She could have revealed it when she spoke to Judge Kavanaugh. Now, I am not a fan of Judge Kavanaugh because he's part of the phony right. I only want real conservatives and the real right. And I know that bugs Trumpsters and other people who are not real conservatives. But that's why I don't like Trump. I want real conservatives and the real right. And Kavanaugh's not. Kavanaugh is part of the Bush wing of the Republican Party, worked for Bush for years, and he's a Bushy, and he's part of the Republican establishment. And you know I don't like establishment people in either party. And you know I don't like the Bushes, and I don't like anything coming out of Washington. Now, but whether you like him or not, or don't like him or dislike him, or whatever your feelings are about him, this is not fair that he's being accused of sexual assault, and he might have done it. He might have done it. She's claiming when they were in high school that he sexually assaulted her. He got drunk and sexually assaulted her. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. But the issue is, they had this information since July. And Dianne Feinstein never even mentioned it. She was sitting on it. She had this information in July. Why didn't she bring it up in the hearing? Or even if she didn't want to bring it up in a public hearing, why didn't she mention it to Judge Kavanaugh? Why didn't she mention it to somebody? She kept it a secret. They went through all the hearings, they went through all the process, and then just as they were about to vote, she brings it up all of a sudden last minute after the hearings, and everything's over and everything's closed and they're ready to vote to confirm or to deny. And then she brings it up all of a sudden she throws it out, even though she had it for months. I mean, that's not fair. That's dirty politics. And it doesn't look good for either side. It's not going to look good for the Democrat side either. I mean, it's dirty, it's nasty, it's opportunism, it's phony, throwing a last minute thing in there when you had the information for months. This is not the way you operate. This is not giving a fair hearing to somebody, and it even makes Judge Kavanaugh's accuser look bad. It makes her look bad. because it makes her look like she's part of some dirty little plot here. It doesn't look good. It looks like a dirty plot when you do things that way. So that's Dianne Feinstein, and she does so many things like that. She's such a nasty, vicious, disgusting individual, a horrible person, a horrible person. People in California politics can't stand her. You know, the California Democrat Party, usually they always endorse the incumbent at their convention. They voted overwhelmingly to endorse her opponent, Kevin De Leon, because nobody can stand her. She's such a backstabber that even her fellow leftists don't like her, the people who know her. They don't like her. And yet she's leading in the polls because Californians don't know much about her opponent and because the media, she's leading in the polls. And so she'll probably get reelected in November, but you should vote against her. You should vote for Kevin De Leon. We have a rule on this program. Always, 99.9% of the time, almost always, 99.9% of the time you should vote against the Jewish candidate. If it's outside of Israel and a Jew is running, that Jew will almost certainly betray the Jewish people and hurt Israel. These Jewish politicians outside of Israel, 99.9% of them are evil, are self-hating, are opportunists, are phony, are backstabbers. They are terrible for Israel. They're the worst thing for Israel. Gentile anti-Semites are better than these self-hating Jews, like Dianne Feinstein. Gentile anti-Semites are better. You got the Jewish candidate for governor of the Democrat candidate for governor of Colorado, who's a Jew, who's married to another man. I mean, this is who's running for governor of Colorado now. You got him. I mean, the Chilul Hashem, the desecration of God's name that takes place here. The Jews that are in politics, they lead the way on all the evil things, on all the bad things. And this is the opposite of what the Jews are supposed to be doing in the world, the Jewish role in the world. So the rule of thumb should be always vote against the Jewish candidate. Vote against the Jew. When you have a Jew running against a Gentile, 99.9% of the time. There may be some very rare exception. I don't know. I haven't seen one in a long time. There may be some very rare exception. But 99.9% of the time, when there's a Jew running against a Gentile, you vote for the Gentile. You do not vote for the Jew. The Jew is bad news. A Jew running outside of Israel, first of all, Jews are not supposed to hold office outside of Israel. Israel is our homeland, not America. And the Jew running outside of Israel is almost always bad news. You should not vote for the Jewish candidate. And I don't know how many times we have to learn that when Jews achieve higher office, whether it's become Supreme Court nominees or Secretary of State, like that beast Henry Kissinger, Yimach Shmo, or the other animal, what was the name of that hook-nosed beast? I forgot what her name was, who was the Secretary of State in Madeleine Albright in the Clinton administration. She didn't know she was Jewish. She just had a Jewish name. Her family had a Jewish name, and she came from a Jewish part of Hungary, and she was a historian, and her family had to flee during the Holocaust, but she didn't know she was Jewish. She had no idea. Yeah. Just like, John Kerry, he's another one. John Kerry's father's name was really Cohen. And you see how violently anti-Israel, how viciously anti-Israel and pro-Iran and pro-Arab and pro-Islamic terrorism this filthy animal is. I mean, these self-hating Jews are so vile. In politics, when they get into politics, they're the worst. Look at Schmuck Schumer and these other horrible people. The worst. It's better to have a Gentile, even a bad Gentile. And almost all politicians generally are bad people. It's, you know, they're not good people. It's a profession that attracts disgusting people. I hate politics and I hate politicians. But even a bad Gentile is better than a bad self-hating Jew. There is a bright spot here. Our advertising campaign in Hebrew. Over 60,000, last time I checked, over 60,000 views from our advertising campaign. Just from our advertising campaign on 11 Hebrew videos that we've been advertising. Over 60,000 views already. In a country which is of 6 million Jews. 60,000, by the way, is 1% of Israel's Jewish population already. They've seen our videos just in this latest advertising campaign. Of course, we want to step it up and increase the campaign. So the more you support us, the more you help us, the more people will see these videos and the more people will reach, Bezrat Hashem, God willing, with our message. Jews in Israel are getting, at least from JTF, they're getting the truth. And you know we're supporting Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party. And you know that we're trying to bring the truth to the Jewish people. It isn't easy. It's not easy. They just see a brief video from us that goes against everything they've learned all their life and everything they've been brainwashed to believe. Not an easy thing to turn that around. But our videos are effective and strong, and God willing, I hope we can do some real good with them. And that is the one bright spot that I see on the horizon. That plus Moshe Feiglin and his Zehut campaign. I don't agree with everything they're saying, because we're pure right. So some of the things they say, you know, are not right wing enough for me, for my taste, but most of the things they're saying are good. And so he is also, Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party also represent a bright spot for Israel and for the Jewish people. So everything isn't lost. And remember, in the end, the good guys are going to win. The promise of the Bible, all the terrible things that are predicted, all the terrible disasters that will befall the Jewish people and the world that the prophets speak about. They always speak, though, in Ba'acharit HaYamim, in the end of days, how wonderful things will be, how the whole world will change. The lion will lie with the lamb, and all the wonderful things that will happen. And there'll be eternal life and resurrection of the dead and the ingathering of all the exiles. The ingathering of the exiles we already see happening in Israel. Almost half of the Jews in the world already live in Israel. And so many other biblical prophecies that are being fulfilled in our time, in what we see with our own eyes. In the end, it's going to lead to wonderful things, to a wonderful eternal redemption, God willing. And we all want to be part of that redemption. And we all want to bring that redemption to fruition. If that's what you want, you're in the right place, Jew or Gentile. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.